David, it's hard to even explain exactly just the mass casualties that happened right here. In fact, the Israeli military says they still don't have a clear number, but I'm talking to some of the soldiers, and they say what they've witnessed as they've been walking through these different houses, these different communities, babies, their heads cut off. That's what they said. Gunned down, families completely gunned down in their beds. You can see some of these soldiers right now comforting each other. Many of them reserves who jumped into action, leaving their own families behind as well, not knowing the sheer horror that they were about to come to. They say they've never experienced anything like this. This is nothing that anyone could have even imagined when you're walking through here.
40 babies beheaded. Beheaded by monsters. These aren't human beings. These are barbarians. These are savages. These are monsters. These are animals. These are Nazis. These atrocities are things we haven't seen in Israel to Jews, things we haven't seen against Jews since the Holocaust. Now, unlike the Nazis, at the end of World War II, the Nazis started trying to hide their atrocities. Started trying to cover up what they had done because they knew what was about to happen. The world was coming for them. These guys put everything on social media. A lot of you don't know the social media app Telegram, but what they're doing is they're uploading this stuff to Telegram. And you just have social media influencers, you have reporters just checking Telegram to see what the latest thing that Hamas uploaded, There are pictures, there are videos of these soldiers discovering burned bodies when they came into this kibbutz, when they got there. This is the worst that humanity has to offer. I've had so many people come over to me welling up with tears because they don't know how to react. Nobody knows how to react. They don't know how to deal with this kind of stuff. Anderson Cooper on CNN. You're going to hear this clip right now. This is a clip of various people who are anchors in mainstream media news stations who are crying on air, who are trying to hold themselves back from crying on air. Members of the Biden administration crying on air. That is how horrible, horrible these images are.
We need everyone to help us, please.
It's Anderson Cooper. He can't even react. He doesn't know what to do. He's turning away from the camera live on air.
Barbarians who have no limits to their brutality.
That's from Sky News. Anchor doesn't know how to react.
There was no mercy shown.
I mean, the images that we're seeing of children kidnapped, of young women who have been abducted, who have blood in their pants because they've presumably been repeatedly raped. It's horrifying. There's been a lot of death and destruction in that region, but I've never seen anything like this.
It's John Kirby. Spokesman for Biden.
It's very difficult to look at these images, Jake, and the human cost. And these are human beings. They're family members, they're friends, they're loved ones, cousins, brothers, sisters. Yeah, it's difficult. And I apologize.
Nothing to say sorry for.
So how do you think it is for the people experiencing it? Everybody I know who served, who can fight, is going to fight. They're going to fight. There are flights leaving from our area now, heading to San Francisco, heading to New York, so people can catch planes, so they can go fight this evil. An evil the world hasn't seen in a very, very long time. But once again, it's rearing its ugly head against Jews. Where's the President of the United States? Joe Biden came out to talk today. 14 Americans are now confirmed dead. They don't know how many are missing. They don't know how many are missing. Joe Biden, when he heard all this was going on, decided to have a barbecue at the White House for the White House staff. Had a barbecue while Americans are being kidnapped. Nobody's afraid of the military might of the U.S. anymore because you've got the Weekend at Bernie's president. It took him 2 days to recover from the barbecue to come out here and actually talk to us about all this. There was a big delay in his press conference today. Everybody said, what, they have to go wake this guy up or something? This is Joe Biden today. In one of the, I don't know how the speech went on for 10 minutes because he said absolutely nothing.
We now know that American citizens are among those being held by Hamas. I've directed my team to share intelligence and deploy additional experts from across the United States government to consult with and advise Israeli counterparts on hostage recovery efforts. Because as president, I have no higher priority than the safety of Americans being held hostage around the world.
No, your priorities are siesta. Your priorities are nap time. Your priorities are being MIA the last 2 days. Your priorities are Murder, She Wrote, and ice cream. Your priorities are making sure Hunter Biden doesn't go to jail. Your priorities are not American safety. You think Israel needs your advice on getting back hostages? Well, how'd that whole Brittany Griner thing work out? You released one of the biggest arms dealers in the world to Russia. To Russia, who, by the way, is also supplying this whole mess going on right now. And then, in your next high-profile trade, you unfroze $6 billion to Iran, who is funding this whole thing, and got back five Americans. And you gave them five of theirs also. Who does the negotiating here? Dow Constantine and King County when they're buying homeless shelters? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? A lot of you said yesterday, Ari, you didn't sound like yourself. You were very emotional yesterday. You know the five stages of grief? I was at grief. I was at sadness. I was at all that yesterday. Today I'm at anger. Today I'm really, really angry. Because I got friends going over to the fight right now. America doesn't have Israel's back. Nobody's got Israel's back. I know KVI Nation does. But as always, Jews got to protect themselves. There's a Jewish custom. When somebody's going into danger or somebody's going on a long trip, you want them to have a safe journey. So there's a custom that if you're doing a mitzvah, a good deed in the process, nothing can happen to you. At least that's the hope. So it's very common that you hand somebody a dollar and say, put this in charity when you get where you're going. Put this in tzedakah, it's called. Friend last night. Got a pregnant wife, newly married. He's leaving tomorrow to go fight because he served in the IDF. And last night I had to give him a dollar. I happily gave him a dollar, but I had to give him a dollar. I shouldn't have had to give him a dollar. Him and I should be having a scotch this weekend. Had to give him a dollar. Because Joe Biden enabled this to happen because the Biden administration enabled this to happen and nobody thinks the Biden administration is going to do anything. The Biden administration, Joe Biden, sends in military groups, sends in some carrier groups to the area, to the Med. And you know what happens? He says, don't try us. Don't mess with us. Don't even think about it, Syria. Don't even think about Lebanon. What did Lebanon and Syria start doing? Launching rockets into Israel. So now, Israel's got a war on three fronts of its border. Three. Now it's got to deal with Syria. Now it's got to deal with Lebanon. And it's got to deal with Gaza. So now we're looking at not 1973. We're looking at also 1967. We're looking at also 1948 when the countries surrounding Israel decided to attack. That's what's going on right now. And who are they being funded by? Iran. Who's been emboldening Iran? Who's been releasing funds to Iran? Who's been paying off Iran? Joe Biden's been doing this since he was vice president of the United States. So forgive me if when he says something like this, I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth.
For 75 years, Israel has stood as the ultimate guarantor of the security of Jewish people around the world. so that the atrocities of the past could never happen again. And let there be no doubt, the United States has Israel's back. We will make sure the Jewish and democratic state of Israel can defend itself today, tomorrow, as we always have. It's as simple as that. These atrocities have been sickening. We're with Israel. Let's make no mistake. Thank you.
Nice you to say that. I don't believe it. You armed the other side. How much aid did you give to the Palestinians, which they used to pay terrorists to kill Jews? How much money did you give to Iran, which they use to give to terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah so they can kill Jews? How many weapons, how many U.S. weapons were left behind by the Taliban? The Taliban wants safe passage so they can come across these Arab countries. Why? So they can kill Jews. Spare me your nonsense. Nobody believes it anymore. And my friends, you think this can't happen here? You think there's no Hamas terrorists here in the U.S.? That is a deadly, deadly mistake to make. A deadly assumption. We've already caught 151 terrorists coming across the southern border since Joe Biden took office. How many have we not caught? We've caught people from the Middle East. We've caught people from all over the world. You think they're not here? Of course they're already here. This could be happening on our shores as well. But let's focus on the Americans. Americans are not safe around the world because nobody fears American military might, because who's the guy in charge? There's no president of the United States right now. He's barely conscious. He didn't take any questions after that press conference today. Because what's the first question going to be? Do you believe that unfreezing the funds to Iran trigger this? Do you believe that trying to pay Iran to go back into the Iranian nuclear deal led to this? Do you believe that giving money to the Palestinian Authority that they could use on terrorism led to this? Do you believe that the weapons being left behind by the U.S. in your disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan are being sold by the Taliban to Iran, to Russia, and being used during all this to kill Jews? What about the weapons the U.S. is sending to Ukraine that are being captured by Russia? Are they being used by all this? Every single one of these things is a Biden administration disaster. Every single one. So, of course, he's not going to take any questions. Because how can you answer for 40 beheaded babies? How can you answer for people being burned to death? How can you answer for people being raped, children being raped and dragged through the streets? You can't answer for that. There is no answer to horror like that. There just isn't. So what's he going to say? That's what he's going to say. Anybody who voted for this man, you knew what you were getting. You knew what you were getting. You were warned. We told you time and time and time again, you knew what you were getting. You knew what you were getting. Why? Because you hated Donald Trump so much? Because you hated Donald Trump so much? I want you to ask yourself an honest question. Remember all those people who say there was going to be World War III? If Donald Trump was president again? Donald Trump's the only president who didn't get us into any wars. Donald Trump's the one who got us out of wars. And I've got my issues with Donald Trump, don't get me wrong. How many other fronts can there be wars on under Joe Biden and the Democrats? How many more? Because I'm tired of looking at pictures of friends that I've lost. I'm tired of looking at pictures of people I didn't even know that look like they could be my friends that we've lost. Every Jew knows somebody who's dead, knows somebody who's kidnapped, know somebody who's being deployed, or know somebody who's fighting right now, or somebody who's living in a bomb shelter. Every single one. And how much of a hand in all of this does Joe Biden and the Democrats have? I've gone from grief and sadness to full-on anger. Evil has to be wiped off the map. Israel should not listen to anybody calling for them to stop. Gaza should be turned into a parking lot. And if I was running the show, you know what I'd say? Those hostages you have 1 hour to turn them back. 1 hour. Or we're flattening the whole place because we assume you're going to kill them. Israeli parents should not have to be telling their kids to delete social media apps because they're worried about the release of these images and these videos over social media. My kids' schools are debating doing the exact same thing because these kids are going to see them. They're going to see their co-religionists, they're going to see friends, they're going to see family being murdered in real time. Thanks a lot, Joe Biden. You know how I said every Jew knows somebody who's dead, kidnapped, fighting, being called up to fight, or sleeping in a bomb shelter? Saw this story, didn't realize that I know the family. I don't know this person in particular. I know their cousins. Dr. Chaim Katzman, according to Como News, 32 years old, was found dead in his apartment. His mother, Hannah Katzman, said he received his PhD from the University of Washington's Henry M. Jackson School of International Studies in 2021. He was born in the U.S. and been living on a kibbutz in Israel doing research. Quote, he was a young guy, had his whole world waiting for him, and I just can't believe it even now. That's Professor James Wellman with the University of Washington's Jackson School of International Studies. The fact that this wonderful human being was killed, who had no malice toward either side, he was a beautiful human being. Hannah Katzman said she initially thought her son had been taken captive, but later learned he was killed when Hamas militants burst into his home, found him hiding with his neighbors in the closet. Now, from different news reports, had to piece this together, but apparently he was shot and his body managed to block the bullets from some others. It's insane. It's insane. This kind of horror, it's awful, absolutely awful. According to his bio on the UW website, Chaim Katzman, his research focused on interrelations of religion and politics in the Middle East, focusing on Israel and Palestine. In 2020, he won the Baruch Kimmerman Prize for Best Graduate Paper, Association for Israel Studies. His work, it's incredibly relevant work. He was looking at something that's become only more influential. He was a really good guy. Someone everyone wants to know as a friend, wants to have as a student. And now he's dead. Now, this is a guy who, reading between the lines of all the research and stuff, was one of the people who thought there could be a two-state solution. Was one of the people who thought you could make peace with the Palestinians. You know, the people who decapitate 40 babies. People who burn people alive. People who take hostages and rape them along the way and then kill them. It's nice to have ideals like that. Unfortunately, you can't negotiate with the Nazis. Unfortunately, you can't negotiate with terrorists. Hamas's surprise attack, which happened on Simchas Torah, a Jewish holiday, killed him and many other people on this kibbutz. On this kibbutz. He's one of the many Americans. What, now over a dozen? We're up to 15 now? That's dead. We don't even know how many are missing right now. We don't. No. And here's somebody from our own neck of the woods. From our own neck of the woods. Like I said, it's the worst game of 7 degrees of separation or 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon ever. Absolutely ever. I never met this man, but I'll never have the chance to. Know his family, know his cousins. Absolutely broke my heart. Broke my heart. And this is what we're hearing every single day. Here's what Joe Biden had to say about the missing Americans.
We now know that American citizens are among those being held by Hamas. I've directed my team to share intelligence and deploy additional experts from
across... Oh, stop, stop, stop. I can't. I can't, I can't, I can't. Share intelligence now? How did the CIA, Mossad, and everybody else miss this thing? The coordination it took to pull this off, how did you miss it? Just how? Nobody's afraid of American military might. They went in knowing they could capture Americans, because how much money is Joe Biden going to pay out for their release right now? Think about that. Go to the KVI studio line, take a call from Leonard in Shoreline. Leonard, what's going on?
You know, my sentiments exactly there, Ari. I mean, look at what Joe Biden has done. I mean, ever since this so-called war out there in Israel started, he has so far gotten 11 of our, or 14 of our people dead for no apparent reason. And I think this is one reason why his impeachment is going to be imminent, because this is not supposed to happen. And I think what he's trying to do, He's trying to send us into the gates of hell.
I don't think his impeachment is going to happen anytime soon. I'm sorry to say, because you know what's going to happen? Politics. Democrats are never going to let it happen. They control the Senate. It's not going to happen. It's just not. And you know the sad thing is? Nobody's going to be accountable for this disaster. And it's all being laid right on the Biden administration's doorstep. I wish he was going to be held accountable for this. I wish the Democrat policies were going to be held accountable for this. It's just not going to happen. And I wish it was. Because the truth is, nobody cares about dead Jews, unfortunately. We thank you for your call, Leonard. You want to be part of the show, you give us a call at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. What's even crazier to me is the activist class around here. How anybody can defend babies being decapitated, women being raped, the same crowd that says believe all women. These activists are all around us. They're here. You see them on social media, and then you realize some of them are in Seattle. Some of them are the director of King County's Office of Law Enforcement Oversight, Tamer Abu Zaid. We've spoken about him before. Everything he posts supports Hamas, supports terrorism. Quote, resistance to invasion and occupation is an inalienable right, whether you're Ukrainian, Palestinian, or any nationality. I'm praying for the liberation of Palestine and to end apartheid. There is no apartheid in Israel. There is no country called Palestine. And your little Palestinian buddies just massacred a whole bunch of people. Over 1,000 people are dead. Thousands more are injured. Not all of them are Jewish. And this is the guy who's in charge of overseeing our law enforcement? This is the guy who's in charge of overseeing our cops? This is the guy who's in charge of making sure he's watching the watchers? Of making sure we're all safe? This guy has tons of these posts. They never end. They're all over social media. And I reached out to the King County Council. Because the King County Council last year made a whole big deal about how they were passing this resolution to condemn anti-Semitism in all its forms and all its shapes. And then I reached out to King County Council member Dave Upthegrove. And I said, how can you do that when you got this guy working for you? And he said, we stand by him. I sent out a request for comment over 36 hours ago to every member of the King County Council. Haven't heard back yet. Can't imagine why that is. Still haven't heard back from Tammy Morales' office either. She's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, a proud member of the Democrat Socialists of America, who are organizing these protests coast to coast in the U.S. to support Hamas, to support Nazis, to support murderers. Can't imagine why their offices aren't getting back to me. Virtue signaling completely cracks me up sometimes. So Representative Rashida Tlaib, you know, the Palestinian who's in our very own Congress, when you say, hey, members of Hamas aren't here, my friends, she's a Hamas supporter and she's a member of Congress. She is still flying the Palestinian flag outside of her office, even though Hamas terrorists decapitated 40 babies, even though Hamas terrorists rape women, even though in Gaza, if you're gay, you are executed. You are thrown off a roof. If you introduce yourself to somebody and say, my pronouns are, they will throw you off a roof. Fascinating to me that just right next to this flag for Palestine, which country that doesn't exist, she's got a flag for the LGBTQIA plus minus dollar sign. That's like chickens for KFC. That's literally what that is. You've got them both right there. Being gay, being any member of that class in the Gaza Strip is an actual crime. She's got them both sitting there on full display. I understand we have freedom of speech. I get it. But why in our federal buildings and institutions are we flying any flag other than the United States of America and the state that a representative is from? Maybe a city flag if you have one. Why are we flying any other flags? But clearly, Rashida Tlaib, this is not the first time, has chosen the side of terrorists. This is nothing new. Nothing new at all. In fact, even Democrats are calling her out for this. She stands with terrorists. She stands with Nazis. I want to know where leadership is on this. Chuck Schumer, you're a Jew. You going to say anything about this? Hakeem Jeffries, you're the House Minority Leader. You're the leader of your party in the House. Going to say anything about this? Or still busy lying about elections? Anybody going to say anything about this at all? What about Ilhan Omar, another rock star? You know, the Some People Did Something with regarding 9/11. She slammed Israel's response to these massacres. Quote, just as we honor the humanity of the hundreds of innocent Israeli civilians and 9 Americans who were killed this weekend, we must honor the humanity of the innocent Palestinian civilians who have been killed and whose lives are upended. They wouldn't have been killed if Hamas terrorists hadn't gone into Israel and started massacring children, started massacring toddlers, started massacring women. None of this would have happened. Stop with the what about-ism. Stop with the trying to do this moral equivalency garbage. Stop it. Just stop it. Everybody's tired of it. You think members of Hamas aren't here in the U.S.? Their supporters are members of Congress. She then falsely claimed that Israel is operating an apartheid state in an attempt to explain the violence by Hamas. This is the new garbage, by the way. Oh, they're just rebelling because, you know, Israel commits atrocities. Israel does not decapitate children. Israel does not rape women. A friend of mine who used to go around advocating for Israel told me that he would, when he would go to college campuses, that people actually said this. I can't believe this, but people actually said this. They would say to him, Israel is racist because your military members don't rape the people who you attack. And his answer is just like, he was so blown away by it. He goes, how many people would you like for me to rape to prove that I'm not racist? Are you crazy? What kind of insanity is that? What other army in the world drops leaflets in neighborhoods before they come in and bomb it, saying, hey, we're showing up tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Better be out of the area because a bomb's coming for you. Do you know what it takes for an Israeli soldier to actually fire their weapon? They pretty much have to get hit in the chest with a bullet before they can return fire. So now we're blaming the victims? Oh, it's Israel's fault. They dress that way. It's their fault they got raped. Are you kidding me? These are members of Congress. Where are the Democrats? Where's Hakeem Jeffries? You want to know how this translates to America? Let's not forget Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib both hate America. Both hate America. In 2019, speaking at the Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE, you know those guys who hate America, who fund and work with terrorist organizations? She said, CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something. Some people did something. Yeah, we're not going to talk about terrorists. Why can't they use the word terrorist? Hey, by the way, back to our Seattle Times boycott we got going on here. Seattle Times doesn't believe in using the word terrorists either. It's always militants or freedom fighters, and they never say murdered. They always say that people died. Oh, they magically died, like the gun magically fired itself. Why would you still subscribe to this paper? I love the amount of you, the many emails I've been getting from you guys saying you dropped your subscriptions with screenshots. Keep sending them to me. Keep sending it to me. Why give this paper that has caused this leftist disaster in Seattle by endorsing terrible candidates, that writes articles that don't actually talk about the truth of what's going on around here, that take the side of terrorists? Why would you want to support this paper? Why? Plus, we have the internet these days. You can find the news that suits you. There's other news to read in Seattle. I write plenty of articles about Seattle. You don't need to subscribe to the Seattle Times. Send me the screenshots of your canceled subscriptions to ari@kvi.com. That's ari@kvi.com. Go to the KVI studio line. Take a call from our friend Transit Joe. Transit Joe, what's going on?
What's going on is, quite frankly, I think that if the Democratic Party wants to have any shot in heck of having us vote for Biden, you want it to success to happen. Trump is the nominee, or we kick the Hamas caucus the hell out of the Democratic Party, because the Hamas caucus has got to go, all of them.
Joe, I got a question for you. Joe, I got to ask you this question, because you bring up Trump all the time. Was the world safer when Donald Trump was president or Joe Biden was president?
I think we were just as unsafe.
How many wars did Donald Trump get us into?
None. And Biden.
Oh, right, hang on, hang on. How many wars did Joe Biden get us into?
None. He got us out of Afghanistan.
Whoa! What's going on in Ukraine right now? Are we not funding that?
That's not getting us into.
We're involved in that war, Joe. And what about this one? Why is the military heading towards the Middle East right now?
To deter and hopefully, God willing, keep us out of that war.
That's not going to happen. They didn't deter anything because Syria and Lebanon both started firing rockets at Israel today, knowing the U.S. was on the way and knowing Joe Biden was speaking today. So I ask again, Joe, was the world safer under Donald Trump or under Joe Biden? I'm sorry?
Biden, barely.
Why? How? What's the measure for success here, Joe?
A president that tries to get us to pull together and a president that keeps our troops. This is my standard keeping us out of war, okay?
How did he keep us out of war? Look what's happening. He's funding all sides. He's funding all sides of this war, Joe. He gave the money to Hamas. He gave the money to Iran. He did that. How is he keeping us out of war? Your argument doesn't hold water. How is he keeping us out of war?
Diplomacy right now. He's hard at work.
Diplomacy! He's hard at work. Joe, he's been MIA for 2 days. What diplomacy? What diplomacy? Are you gonna wait, Joe, can you have diplomacy with terrorists? You don't even think you can have diplomacy with the Hamas caucus.
That's right. But this president is just getting our allies to try to work together. And you just need to give the man one final chance.
No, Joe. No. No. No, no, no. What chance? He literally left behind billions of dollars in war equipment. I know you know war equipment better than a lot of other people. Left it behind for the Taliban. The Taliban are selling it on the market, U.S. material. Weapons in Ukraine are being seized by Russia, are being captured by Russia. You think that's not all making its way to terrorists? Because Newsweek says it is. That's not Fox News. That's not Newsmax. That's not the Daily Wire. That's Newsweek is saying this. Iran, he unfroze the money from Iran. He funded Hamas. He gave the money to the Palestinian Authority, and they dumped it right into the pay-for-slay program. How is Joe Biden keeping us out of anything?
The president still hasn't sent troops into Ukraine, so that's my standard is sending troops in. That's my standard. We can send money and do all kinds of things short of sending troops into actual combat, and it's what we should be doing.
It's a low bar, Joe, but I appreciate your call. I appreciate you being willing to debate me. You want to be part of the show, you give us a call, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. I know a lot of you want to weigh in on this. My phone lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree or a Hanukkah bush. You choose your religion. It's fine. Either way, we will get to your phone calls. But first, this story, because Mike and I love Star Trek. This one I just had to mention. George Takei, however you want to pronounce his name, posted about the situation going on in Israel and Gaza. Quote, he said, here's what he's talking about. Let me just get you the full detail here. The Israeli government has cut off food, water, and fuel to 2 million people inside Gaza. Collective punishment is not only contrary to international law, it is inhumane and illogical. Star Trek reference. I see what you did there. How will this de-escalate the violence rather than radicalize many more? It is madness. Well, number one, I've studied warfare. And if you keep your enemy away from their food supplies, they ain't going to be fighting very much. It's like when you go to war in the desert, keep them away from water. What's one of the first things the U.S. does when it goes into one of these countries? Establish a water supply. Establish a power supply. Here's something else. Those millions of dollars in aid, billions of dollars in aid, trillions of dollars in aid that has been sent to the Palestinians. You know what they could have done with it? They could have built power plants. They could have built desalination factories. Plants that cleared out water so they would have it. They could have built reservoirs. They could have done all this stuff. They didn't do it. Spent the money on rockets. Spent the money on terror tunnels. Spent the money on weapons. So when Israel says we're cutting off their utilities, Israel was providing Gaza its utilities and Israel was paying for it. Why should you provide utilities to your enemy? By the way, this brings up a fun point. I guess it's a really good thing that Hamas doesn't have electric cars for them, right? Otherwise, how would they charge the suckers? Why didn't the U.S. give them electric cars? They gave them everything else. They should have given them electric cars. This war would be over already. George Takei added, "It is what my community once endured in World War II, all because of the actions of others who happened to share our ethnicity. Have we learned nothing?" Okay, dude, if anybody needs an education on World War II atrocities against minority ethnicities, you think it's the Jews. You ever hear about that whole Holocaust thing, by the way? Dude, stick with driving fake spaceships. You seem better suited for that. That seems to be a better thing you're at. Also, you want to talk about atrocities? How about we talk about the atrocities that the Japanese committed against Americans in World War II? How about we talk about that? You really want to have that discussion? Seems like a lot of people in the entertainment industry have completely lost their minds. Somebody who may never have had one in the first place is porn star Mia Khalifa, who I didn't even know was still a thing. I didn't even know she was still around. But she's been spewing this anti-Semitic, terrorist-supporting drivel. And apparently she's had a platform on Playboy. I don't frequent such publications. I don't know such things. But Playboy fired her right there, posted a letter, how we don't want you around anymore because of the awful, vile things you're saying. How about does it have to be that you're firing a Playboy playmate or a porn star for the vile things they're saying? Because she's defending terrorists. Defending terrorists. It's absolutely crazy. She's not the only one in Hollywood. Here's a crazy one for you from the news organizations. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation gave guidelines to reporters that they are not allowed to use the term terrorist in their coverage with Israel's war with Hamas, according to their own internal emails that have been leaked. Now, by the way, we've seen this kind of stuff with the New York Times. We've seen this kind of stuff with the Associated Press. And I look at the Seattle Times, for example, who keeps using the term militants. They keep using the term freedom fighter. They're not using the term terrorist. They're not using the term murder. They're not using the term massacred. And I'm like, you guys got a thesaurus open in front of you to avoid using all these terms? Or do you think they got an email just like this one? Just like this one that says you are not to use these because the terrorists might be offended. One of my favorite stories was from when Hamas was launching rockets at Israel a few years ago, and Israel went in and blew up the AP headquarters because it is one of these open secrets that Hamas uses the satellite dishes and technology of Western news agencies to broadcast their messages, and everybody knows this. In fact, their reporters have told stories of Hamas bursting into a room and saying, "Don't air this, don't air this." But Hamas also saying, "Hey, come here. We want you to shoot something. We got a big story for you. Come, come, come." They're in cahoots with Western media. So when Israel says, "Yeah, we're blowing up that building," it's because Hamas was using the AP building as a headquarters. Hamas was operating out of the Associated Press building. That's how compromised our media is. Makes me absolutely sick. Makes me absolutely nauseous. Time for your daily dose of adrenaline.
You want me to stick this into my heart? Are you f***ing nuts?
You know, I realize a lot of you have questions on a lot of this. You don't know how to feel. You don't know how to act. You don't know enough about the situation. Look, I'm going to confess, I don't know a lot about the government of Mexico. I don't know a lot about their internal politics. I know who Trudeau is up in Vancouver just because he's such a moron. But aside from that, I don't know much about Canadian politics. I don't. We're an American politics show. We're a Seattle politics show. We're a Washington politics show. That's what we do. So why would I expect any of you to know anything about a country that's thousands of miles away on the other side of the world that's the size of New Jersey? So a lot of people have questions. Let's answer some of those questions. Go to the KVI studio line. Take a call from James in Everett. James, what's going on?
Well, that was a good build up there, Ari, to cover your ass. But do Israelis have the right to bear arms in their own homes?
Complicated question. Let me walk you through it for a second. So, number one, a lot of Israelis feel they don't need to because there's always some teenager walking by with an M16 because everybody's in the military. In Israel, everybody gets drafted into the military at the age of 18. There are different services you can go to. There are different service programs that don't necessarily mean combat. But if you go to a nightclub in Israel and you're out on the dance floor, you may get poked by somebody's M16 while they're dancing. Not in a bad way, not in a threatening way, but just because they're wearing them everywhere. They are, when they're in formal clothing, they're wearing the machine gun. When they're in uniform, they're wearing the machine gun. When they're in street clothing, they're wearing the machine gun. So they think they're safe everywhere because there's always a soldier around. Secondly, because everybody has served in the military, most people who want to have a gun can get a gun. So, for example, because you've been in the military, if you served enough time with distinction, you don't have any problems, things like that, you can apply to get a gun. Now, I know a lot of people who have guns. I know a lot of people who don't have guns. A lot of people living over the green line, a lot of people living in different territories, they have guns. However, their gun laws are also stricter than ours. By that, I mean, if you are on some kind of medication for mental health issues, they take away your guns. If you are going through a divorce, they take away your guns. There are reasons they take away your guns. If you are an American who moves to Israel, you can't get guns for years. They are very, very strict on gun control. That being said, if you want a gun, there are ways to get a gun. I hope that answers your question, James.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, so it's a good it's a good look at what's happening here in America. But it's a chicken crap.
James, I'm not really following your question. What's the question?
The question is, can citizens or can Israelis have guns? And you're saying, no, they can't.
That's and not what. Whoa, James. James, that is not what I said at all. There's this weird conspiracy theory going around online that I see actually on the right, not the left. That goes, well, if Israelis could have guns, this wouldn't have happened. Most of the Israelis I know have guns. So this whole thing is not holding water. Your better argument is as follows. A kibbutz, right, is usually a socialist commune type thing. They're not the biggest gun people. At the same time, they still have fences, they still have guards, they still have all that. If you want to talk about that, fine. If you want to say, hey, this rave out in the desert, which was a one-piece thing, probably filled with a bunch of lefties, probably didn't think they needed guns, that's fine. But this business of Israelis not having guns, I don't know where it's coming from, James. I see it all over the internet. I see people talking about it. I don't know where it's coming from.
Well, do you own a gun in your house?
Several.
Yeah, you know what, Ari? I just bought my first gun. I'm 70 years old now. I bought it 3 years ago. Because our government is trying to defund our police. And I'm like, God, I need to protect myself.
Well, I get that. And, but also in Israel, here's the thing. You got the army everywhere. You got the police everywhere. In Israel,
well,
national security is... Hang on, James. In Israel, they got the police all over the place. They got law enforcement. That's the one thing they all agree on. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the conversation. We go back to the KVI studio line. Take a call from Ruben in Kent. Ruben, what's up?
Hey, Ari, love your show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to ask you a question. First and foremost, our sympathies with all our brothers and sisters in Israel, but
thank
wanted
you.
To pick your brain. Benjamin Netanyahu, badass, we all know it. Is it fair to say that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not going to take any direction or suggestion or anything out of that stupid White House right now? In other words, is it fair to say that maybe Prime Minister Netanyahu is finally going to take the gloves off and maybe put a stop to all this crap and halt those schmucks in Palestine?
Here's the thing, Ruben. That's kind of what everybody's hoping for right now, because everybody's gone from the sadness phase to the anger phase. Now, here, let's play a game here. I'm Bibi Netanyahu for a second, okay? Let's play this game. And what I know is every time we go into Gaza, what happens is as soon as Israel's really kicking butt, that's when you get the calls from the worldwide community of, we got to stop. We got to have a ceasefire. We got to have a peace deal. And then they rearm and it starts a few years later. Israel has not seen anything like the Jews have not seen anything like this since the Holocaust. But you know, Biden in the White House. You've got Joe Biden in the White House. And the problem is 2 weeks ago, an Iranian spy ring was broken up in the Pentagon and the State Department. Can you trust the U.S. government? On the flip side of that, you need Congress. You need Congress because Congress gives out foreign aid and provides the aid for the Iron Dome system. Israel designed it. The U.S. pays for it. So can you afford to alienate the U.S.? And what if at the U.N., the U.S. isn't backing up Israel, like we saw at the end of the Obama administration? Then Israel starts having problems on the international stage. That's the problem, the situation that Bibi Netanyahu's in right now.
Well, if you can just let me interject something one more time here.
Go ahead.
Before I hang up. You know, no, I understand, but I think it's time that Israel does what Israel needs to do, and I hope our buddies in the Mossad have something planned. I don't know if you can recall, but back in 1980-81, the great country of Israel conducted a really cool clandestine mission where they knocked out an Iranian nuclear facility.
It was in Iraq. It was Saddam Hussein's nuclear reactor. It was the raid on the sun in 1980 in Osirak. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, it's time, Ari. I think it's just time that Ben Netanyahu just forget anything we have to say and protect the great state of Israel. That's all I have to say, Ari.
Ruben, I appreciate the call. I appreciate your kind words. And I got to say, you know, a parking lot next to a beach would be really convenient right now. And I think that Gaza is just really needs a big parking lot right next to a beach. I really do appreciate that.
You and I are talking the same language. Thanks, Ari.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ruben. Thanks for the support. I mean, the problem you have going on right now is that they have hostages. And at what point do you say they're going to kill the hostages? They're already talking about killing them online so the kids can see it. Think about that. That's the situation you have to think about right now. They're going to kill the hostages anyway, or they're going to extort you for the hostages. Do you just go in and blow everything to crap, knowing that you're going to be killing foreign nationals if they're still alive? That's the situation Israel's dealing with right now. We go back to the KVI studio line, take a call from Don in the Kyiv Peninsula. Don, how you doing out there?
I'm about half sick to my stomach listening to all of this. You know, being an old Vietnam era. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard a ding. I thought I got dropped.
But, no.
You know, it just made me think, you know, one of my ex-in-laws goes back almost 50 years. He was a Lebanese Jew that moved to Israel, and he was involved in that short war back in the late 60s.
67, the Six-Day War. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about the time that the hostages were grabbed in Iran, and he said, Carter does not understand us. You cannot talk to us. You cannot reason with us. We only understand one thing, and that is brutality. But, you know, being only 1% or 2% Ashkenazi Jew, this kind of stuff, I don't know if I can say it on here, but it really...
Choose the words carefully.
POs me.
There you go. Okay, that works.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I've got little grandkids this age, and the idea that they are, you know, adults, you take your chances, but when you start murdering children, there's nothing, I don't care. I will roll over the whole damn country. And as far as it goes, parking lot, nothing. How about an ashtray?
I got to tell you, that's where so many people are at right now. I mean, and including people who are like, two-state solution. Ain't nobody got no time for that no more, because you can't make deals with terrorists. Let's remember who we're talking about here, Don. We're talking about the people who pioneered terrorism. Why do we have metal detectors at airports? It's not because of 9/11. It's because of the 1970s and 80s. And who are the ones hijacking airplanes? Palestinians. And it wasn't always Jewish airplanes. A lot of times it was American airplanes, because they're coming for Americans as well. Don, great call. Appreciate you being part of the show. You want to be part of question and answer session today, you give us a call, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We go back to the KVI studio line, take a call from our friend Mario in Kent. Mario, what's up, my man?
Hey, Ari, buddy. You know, one of the things that I was telling Mike is the problem that you got is, like, you got all these people that are supporting this madness worldwide, especially saying, oh, the Palestinians for this, for that. And basically, these people have been allowed to immigrate to Western countries where they really don't have any intention of assimilating into a Western country society. I'll give you case in point. When I was a young man growing up, you used to have a mosque, a synagogue, and a Christian church next to each other. Everybody would go to their respective churches. You never saw anybody wanting to attack each other or kill anybody else. And now these people are preaching this hard line that if we don't, we're going to shove Allah down your throat. We're going to kill you. We're going to do this. And this is the sad thing that happened in Israel. Because I remember as a boy, and I mean as a boy and as a young man, little boys and girls carrying Uzis in Israel, protecting their little brothers and sisters who were younger than them while they were in the playground, because they knew the kind of danger that they were at any given moment. And like I say, my friend, I, you know, we hope for the best, but I really think a lot of those hostages are probably, if they're not dead already, will be killed.
I think, unfortunately, that's true. That's true. And that's what we're dealing with right now, because, you know, the worldwide condemnation, because it's not just America that's missing people. You also got people missing from Germany and the Philippines and you name it, because there were a whole bunch of people from all over the world at this rave that was going on, a whole bunch of people from all over the world in town for the Jewish holiday. There's people missing from all over the world. And how many countries are they going to piss off by bombing them if there's a hope they're still alive? Hamas is counting on that. Mario, appreciate the call. Appreciate you being part of the show. You want to be part of the show, you give us a call. Local BLM chapters across the U.S. are calling for genocide against Jews. They are backing the Palestinians. I guess nobody should be surprised, because BLM has always been an anti-Semitic organization. When BLM came on the scene in 2016, they had all this stuff about apartheid, Israel. None of it was true. They had all this stuff about oppressing the Palestinians. None of it was true. War crimes, blah, blah, blah. None of it was true. And then when they started getting the national spotlight more in 2018 and 2020, all that stuff was gone, erased from existence. It was gone. Every single thing was gone. Now BLM is back with a vengeance on social media, thinking, oh, it's a crisis. We can raise money off this, because that's what BLM does. What's BLM doing? Because this is really screwed up. A lot of the attacks came via parachute into Israel. A lot of the attacks came via, if you remember the James Bond movie, shoot, which one was it? The James Bond movie, the last one, The World Is Not Enough. The World Is Not Enough with the Skyhawks. So they had these snowmobile-looking things with these big fans on the back, and they had the parachutes, and they were chasing James Bond and the gal from Braveheart down the ski slope. You remember that? Okay. They were devices kind of like that, smaller scale, but they had these big fans on them to push them over the border wall to go farther. BLM is putting parachutes and those devices in their flyer saying, I stand with Palestine. You stand with murderers who went in to kill and massacre civilians? That's who you stand with? That's what you're doing? The one who's regretting this the most is probably Scott Wiener out of California. Scott Wiener, the guy who never met a law that could be rolled back for sex offenders he didn't like. So he wrote this back in, I think it was 2020. Tweeted this, the community showing up to paint Black Lives Matter on Fulton Street, bookended City Hall and the African American Art and Culture Complex, San Francisco at its best, hashtag BLM. Today, he shares the flyer from BLM Chicago with the parachute. More advocacy for violence against Jews. This is sickening. You enable this. You advocated for these guys. This is you. You did this. National BLM is posting this garbage because they go, opportunity to fundraise, time to get some new mansions. That's what we got to do. This is BLM across the country. I'm so glad we spent $40,000 of Seattle taxpayer money to write Black Lives Matter on the sidewalk, or rather on the street up in the Capitol Hill zone. Congratulations, you solved racism. Didn't they also put it in front of City Hall? I think they spent $40,000 on that sucker in front of City Hall.
All for a bunch of paint for people to walk on and who knows what else.
Well, I was going to be a little bit more graphic than that, but thank you, Mike, for cleaning it up a little bit for me. We go to the KVI studio line, take a call from Ronan in Paris, Texas, listening all the way out there. Ronan, how are you listening to the show?
I'm listening to it on the phone, and I'm listening to it very well.
Thank you. All right, KVI app, streaming, love it. Okay, what's going on, buddy?
Okay, so a question I had was, since all these people are angry at the Israelis for quote-unquote stealing their land, the question I had from a historical perspective is, did the Holocaust survivors ask to be placed there, or did the UN just say, hey, here's your new home, good luck?
Neither. Let me tell you what happened, okay? See, this is a problem with the American education system. It's not just public school. So what happened was Jews have had a consistent presence in Israel since the time the Jews entered from Egypt. Since that time, the Jews have had a consistent presence in the land of Israel the entire time. Even when it wasn't a state of Israel, even when it was, even after they got exiled by the Babylonians and by the Romans and everybody else. The problem is the way we teach Jewish history in school is by saying, here's a diary of Anne Frank. Here's the diary of Anne Frank, which isn't even really about the Holocaust. It's about the time before the Holocaust. It doesn't spend any time talking about Anne Frank dying in the camps. It's trying to show, hey, she could be just like you. Live her experience. The other thing they teach you is the state of Israel existed. It was established in 1948 after the Holocaust for Holocaust survivors. That's not really true. What happened was nobody in the world wanted the Jewish refugees. Very few countries even wanted us. I mean, FDR, the whole time the Holocaust was going on, was turning away Jewish refugees. Canada took some, but we know they were also taking a whole bunch of Nazis at the same time. There was really no place for them to go. So the Aliyah movement, the Theodor Herzl movement, had been happening since the 1800s, since the 1900s. All that had been going on for a while. And these Israeli farmers, these Jewish farmers who were refugees from other places, were recolonizing. Yes, I'm going to use that word, recolonizing the land. Because nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it. It was a wasteland. Nobody wanted this thing. They were pushing back. They were draining the swamps. They were pushing back the desert. They were building settlements. Nobody was there. Nobody wanted it. It's only when all of a sudden the land became appetizing, for lack of a better word, the Palestinians go, wait, we want it too. Then the whole fight with the UN happens. Then everything happens with the war of 1948 and 1967 and 1973. But there's a lot of, look, I'm doing the abridged version right now because, you know, I got time segments. But that's, it's not that the Holocaust survivors were just dumped there or anything like that. It's that they had nowhere else to go. Nobody else wanted them. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And thank you very much for giving me a different historical perspective on the origin of the state of Israel. And God bless Israel. And I pray that they make it through this as sanely and as one piece as possible.
Ronan, I appreciate you calling with this. There's a great book, and you're going to laugh at me when I give you the title.
Probably.
The Idiot's Guide to Understanding the Middle East Conflict. It's actually really well done. It's really well done. And it's pretty fair. So I actually recommend if you want to learn more about this, pick up that. And here's the other one. KVI audience is going to be like, "Who? Why is he recommending a lefty?" Alan Dershowitz's Case for Israel. Pick up those two books if you want to learn more about the subject.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
All right, buddy. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the call. We go back to the KVI studio line, take a call from Stilgar in Eastgate. Stilgar, what's going on?
Oh, Ari, I don't even know where to put all the stuff that I'm thinking. I think it's been a struggle trying to find the right word to describe the perpetrators of these actions. Because people have been saying that, you know, animals don't do this. They can't say animals. There are no such thing as monsters. So, you know, what I know, scum works pretty well. But I was talking to your screener. So, you know, I'm kind of trying to wrap my mind around some of what's going on, because it's so horrific that it's, I don't think in my Western mind, I have a true feeling for it. But I was thinking, okay, so if heaven forbid, I were a hostage, what would I want done? And as a child of God, and as someone who I think my eternal future is secure, I think if I were being held in a building by these scum, that I would rather be blown up with them than have, you know, heroic Jews risk their lives trying to rescue me.
Well, here's the problem with that. Here's the issue.
And it's, you know, so, I mean, it's just a thought. I mean, it was, you know, I'm just trying to wrap my head around some of these concepts. So that's all.
Here's the issue is that a lot of these people were captured along with their entire family. And there's different things you're going to do if it's just you, Stilgar, and there's different things you're going to do if your kids are in the room.
and they're executing kids in front of their parents, and this is how they control you. They knew exactly what they were doing by taking entire families. And while I understand what you're saying, give your life for the cause, not everybody's you, and not everybody can do that, and everybody always hopes their children survive. The videos coming out are absolutely horrific, but still, Gar, I do appreciate the thoughts. I do appreciate the prayers. Do appreciate the kind words.
Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can always get the podcast at Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is. Remember, while you're there, to rate, subscribe, and share. Zoe, you and your friends never miss a minute of the show. Well, on Friday last week, and we know a lot has happened. It seems like it was a year ago already with everything that's happened this week. We revealed the location of yet another one of these level three sex offenders, a location under consideration, where Governor Jay Inslee, Bob Ferguson, and the Democrats would like to drop one of these level three sex offenders, the worst of the worst, the most likely to reoffend, the ones who really can't be cured. And after reading this guy's record, this guy's profile, it's even more horrible than any of the other ones I've ever seen. One of the people who's fighting this kind of stuff in our area is Representative Travis Couture from the Washington State Legislature. Thank you so much for being with us today, sir.
Thanks, Ari. Thanks for having me on.
So I guess the question is, you and I found this out, I don't want to say through nefarious means, but you and I had to go to a lot of trouble to get all this information, to find all this out. The average person isn't going to do that. It's pretty much dumb luck. There are dozens of these characters, if not hundreds of these characters around. We never know where they're going to get dropped. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, the number one thing we need to do immediately is have public notice to the community from the state agencies who are involved in the release and the LRA housing of these sexually violent predators. So I ran a bill last year. It didn't get a hearing that said, hey, we want public notice. Stop trying to fly these sexually violent predators, these worst of the worst, under the radar and place them into communities. And Ari, it's super important because, as we both found out, this proposed location, once again, the government is terrorizing my South Thurston County constituents by trying to release into their rural communities these absolutely unspeakably atrocious, I don't even know if we can call him a human being at this point, the things that they have done in their criminal past, and they just want to drop them off right next to, less than a mile away from schools, elementary schools, daycares, stuff like that. It's just unsafe. It can't happen. And a lot of the times, this is this radical defense attorney is going to pull these guys out. And in this guy's case, against the wishes of Department of Social Health Services, DSHS.
What's crazy to me is more than the schools being a mile away is that literally the Little League field is like a 5-minute walk from this place. It's like backyard this place. Since it's rural, a lot of these properties just line up with each other. But I sent somebody by there the other day to get a picture of the place, and they took a picture of this place, and there are houses on either side of it. I mean, I went to Google to double check they had the right location. There are houses on either side. We don't know who's living in those houses. And these neighbors are probably completely unaware. We don't know if they have kids. We don't know what we don't even know who's living next door. There's no security in place. This is worse than the other less restrictive housing alternatives where at least they said, hey, we're going to build a fence. It was a crappy fence. Hey, we're going to have somebody there supervising them. I mean, they weren't paying that close attention if one of these guys got a dowel that he sharpened into a weapon. But in this case, it's the dude's sister. And the dude's sister has been in denial about his 20 years of being a sexual pervert, a predator who has preyed on kids as young as 5-6 years old.
Yeah, and one of the problems, Ari, is that what we've come to find out is that high acuity sexually violent predators from the SCC, the Special Commitment Center on McNeil Island, they are getting these defense attorneys to go to court and win releases for them. This housing, this house that you're talking about, wouldn't even be run by DSHS. So that opens up another list of questions because it's just owned by the SVP sister, who is, as you said, in complete denial of the atrocious crimes that this person has literally admitted to in court documents and to clinicians in the SEC. And so it's absolutely ridiculous, and it just raises some more questions. One, we need public notice for these things. The DOC, when they were going to investigate the location, if it was suitable, they called the Thurston County Sheriff and just said, hey, we're looking into investigating an LRA in Thurston County. But they didn't tell them who and they didn't tell them where. And that's not adequate at all. That area, Ari, in South Thurston, Rochester, it's got like one deputy to patrol that area if something bad were to happen.
Unbelievable. Switching gears for a minute from this, but still staying on the same topic, we have the Sex Offender Policy Board. And the Sex Offender Policy Board has been discussing, they have all this paperwork where they've been discussing possibly rolling back restrictions on sex offenders, even though Brad Merrihue, who runs this committee, has said, no, we're not doing that at all, even though literally the paperwork on this, the recommendations on this are included in the minutes of their meeting. This is a committee appointed by Jay Inslee. Brad Merrihue is a defender of these guys and actually brags about it on his legal website. So with all that, what can be done to stop this insanity? Because it seems like it's just stopped for now, where they're saying, no, we're not doing this until they can do it on the sly later down the road.
Well, honestly, Ari, I think that these are a bunch of radicals who want to pat sex offenders who've done terrible crimes on the back and help them out, give them a good time. But from my standpoint, and I think the standpoint of many in my district and many across the state, is that we have already gone too soft on sex offenders, and to basically make sure that there's no crime here, that there's no punishment, that there's no remediation. I mean, right now you can go to any of the prisons, and if you find a convicted sex offender, they're not even mandated to do sex offender treatment while they're in prison. And the answer from the left is that, well, you know, they don't want to admit to guilt. And I said, I don't care. They're convicted. I don't care what they want to admit. They should have to do this treatment. And so that's the world we live in right now. And the Attorney General's office is losing in court to protect us from these sexually violent predator releases. They're losing and losing and losing, and to the point where it's either incompetence or they're actually trying to help them. You pick which one, it doesn't matter. They're losing and it's making us suffer. They're supposed to protect the people of the state of Washington in this whole court process, and that is simply not happening. And then when it comes to the Sex Offender Policy Board and getting rid of the host of things that you mentioned, you know, they're on board with some of that as well. And so the Attorney General's office, Bob Ferguson, is not trying to protect us from sex offenders like his office claims that it is.
Let's just remember, this is the guy who wants to be our governor here in Washington, which is just absolutely crazy. Representative Travis Couture, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for looking out for the citizens of Washington, especially when so many of the other elected officials are failing in their duty to do so. It makes us appreciate even more having people like you.
Thank you, Ari. I just want to say thanks for covering this topic, and I also want to say God bless Israel and to all the Jewish people out there like you who are having to watch the horror that's unfolding from the savages and Hamas. And I just want to say my heart goes out to you and that whole community here in Washington State and across the world.
That's very kind of you, and I got to say something. It means so much, especially when so many other voices that should be speaking out for us are completely silent. So that really means more than you know. Representative Travis Couture, you're a good man. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
Thanks, Ari. Have a good one.
We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Well, my friends, there is an event coming up tomorrow that I will be speaking at. Yes, back-to-back nights of hearing the one and only Hoffather speak to you. That's right, in person. I will kiss your babies. I will shake your hands. I will kiss your hands. I will shake your babies, whatever the case may be. But even so, two different opportunities to see me, and the one tomorrow night is at Brian Haywood's Willowcrest Stables. That's out in Redmond, Washington. You can get all the information over at DougBassler.com, because I am going out there to stump for my friend Doug Bassler, who is running for the Director of Elections for King County, because as I understand it, we've got nothing but problems over there, and we got to win some elections. Joining us now on the KVI studio line, the one and only Doug Bassler. Thanks so much for being with us today, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks again for being willing to come out and stump for your buddy, tomorrow night at Willowcrest Stables in Redmond. It's going to be a great night.
My absolute pleasure. I'm even bringing the truck because it said stables, and I've been there once or twice, and the Challenger didn't like the gravel, so I'm taking out the truck tomorrow night, but that shouldn't discourage anybody. I'm just kidding. There's plenty of parking.
I was hoping to take the Challenger for a spin after the show, but no, that's all right.
In this weather, dude, we ain't doing that. That's not happening. But everybody gets to see the truck. Yes, the big and mighty truck tomorrow night. It will be there also because I get to feel like I'm kind of, you know, a cowboy because I have a truck and I'm a radio host. Anyway, Doug, let's talk about what we're talking about here. So King County Elections decided in the middle of an election to swap out a server. Magically, the cameras weren't working. And Julie Wise just says, yeah, no problem. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, that's basically it, in a nutshell. But it is a problem because she's violated the law and the WACs that are require an emergency logic and accuracy test. A logic and accuracy test basically tells us if that computer is, you know, checking the box correctly for the person that the voter intended to have it go to. So they have a pre-made ballot. They know, you know, what the vote tally is. And if the ballot is exactly the same ballot that they're using either for the primary or for the general election. And so there will be another logic and accuracy test. And anybody's allowed to go to that. I believe it's tomorrow at 1 down at King County Election headquarters down there in Grady Way in Renton. Anybody can go to it. But basically, they know that, you know, candidate X got 12 votes and candidate Y got 46 votes, and then the machine is expected to pump that out. And that way we know that the specific ballot that we are specifically counting is being counted as the voter intended. And so this, by not running an emergency LNA test, it throws everything into confusion. But, you know, the real problem, Ari, isn't the fact that she didn't do those things. The real problem is the cover-up. It's always the cover-up that's worse, right?
Right, because if she had just said, hey, we got some observers here. Hey, guys, can you come observe this or can we come document this? Because we're having this problem. We're in the middle of an election. I just want to be above board. Well, here's what's going on. And by the way, I'd have more confidence in somebody doing that than somebody who tries to cover it up because I go, hey, look, tech breaks. I mean, today we're having all kinds of studio fun, right? Tech breaks. We know that. So when that goes down, it's okay to say I'm having a tech problem and people will get it. But when you cover it up, people assume there's a nefarious purpose.
Yeah, and now I don't assume that, Ari. So I guess maybe I'm probably a little more like you in this. Like, you know, are the elections being messed with? Maybe and maybe not. We hope not. But the problem is nobody can take a look. Nobody can see. And so hence my candidacy. I would just as soon, like, you know, if something like that happened and you said, you know, even now, Ari, if she came out and said, hey, you know what, I should have did this, I should have done that, I didn't do it, I'm going to fix it, it won't happen again, it would go away. But this ducking and dodging and, you know, like, you know, our friend Glenn Morgan, who's also going to be out there tomorrow night, you know, he's talking about why did she Epstein the cameras? You know, that's pretty harsh. Jim Walsh, the chairman of the Washington State Republican Party and our 19th district state rep, will also be there tomorrow night, and he has sent letters to Secretary of State Hobbs requesting that, you know, reprimands and things be put in place. And so, and of course, our King County Chairman, Matthew Packard Thomas, has also, you know, raised a huge protest about this. And so it just, you know, is it nefarious or is it just incompetence? Well, either way, it'd be good if we could just get it fixed, right?
Either way, that's what we want. We want it fixed. And you and I are the kind of people who go, well, if there's fraud, is it legal? Because in Washington State, a lot of this has been legalized. Or is this the kind of thing where it was stupidity, which this very may well be? Or is it a nefarious intent? And the problem is, as long as people keep trying to obfuscate the problem, we're never going to find out. That's why we need somebody like you. So who gets to vote for you, Doug? Just people in King County? Just people in Washington State? Dead people? How does it work right now?
Well, we're hoping that no dead people show up because it is Halloween. I get it. But, yeah, anybody that lives in King County can cast a vote my way and much appreciated it. And we'd really like people to come out to this event tomorrow night. We got plenty of room. The barn's been completely remodeled. It's big and beautiful. I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures, and I just can't wait for this event tomorrow night. That's another way. Also, just, you know, you can vote by making a donation. Go to DougBassler.com, hit the big red button that says donate. You know, $5, $10, I mean, it matters. And, you know, just looking for support. We're, you know, we can win. And I think we can get back to restoring confidence. And that's really what everybody wants. They just want to know that my vote, as I voted, is being counted the way I intended. And then everything goes back to life. You know, now we can just campaign and do all this other stuff. We just really want to have transparent, secure, and publicly verified elections.
Amen. Amen. And as I say, every single time we have Doug Bassler on the line, he is a true friend. He is somebody I really, 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 really like as a friend. Not just, oh, it's some random guy I'm having on air because he's a Republican, he's running for office. This is a guy who goes above and beyond, does a lot of volunteer work for his community, for his church, etc. He is a guy who would be perfect for this job, and he is an upright, upstanding citizen. He deserves your vote. So the event is tomorrow night out at Brian Haywood's Willowcrest Stables. That's out on 154th Place Northeast in Redmond, Washington. You can get all the information at DougBassler.com. That's DougBassler.com. Doug, thanks so much for joining us today, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Ari.
Always a pleasure. We've got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. It is time to feel good as we wrap up another amazing episode of the Ari Hoffman Show right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. And before we get to our good news giveaway, just some good news headlines for you. So this one comes to us from The Hollywood Reporter. Chris Rock is in final negotiations to direct and produce a Martin Luther King Jr. biopic for Universal based on Jonathan Eich's 2023 biography, King: A Life. Now, when I see something like this, I go, this is either going to be a train wreck disaster, or afterwards, everybody's going to go, I didn't know Chris Rock could direct movies. That's really, there's no in between. It's not going to be woke unless somebody gets a hold of this thing or who knows what, because Chris Rock is most definitely not woke. Will it be an accurate retelling? Will it be something else like the guy who made the Elvis movie? I don't know. What's it going to be? I'm cautiously optimistic. I would like nothing better than like when they announced, hey, Ben Affleck's going to start directing. Oh, that dude actually makes some pretty good movies. Oh, Clint Eastwood's going to start directing. Hey, that dude kind of makes some good movies. Oh, Jonathan Frakes is going to direct a Star Trek movie. Oh, what do you know? Now he's the Grand Pumbaa of Star Trek. This could be one of those moments. It could be. And it could be a colossal disaster where they go, dude, just go back to comedy. And his next stand-up routine is like, I never should have directed a movie. Like, you know, that's how that's going to go.
Well, and I'm not familiar with this particular book. Like, you know, is it, does it encompass Dr. King's life? Does it take like a particular event? It'll be something I'll be interested in taking a look at because I know you have a pretty healthy appetite for Chris Rock. So I'll admit when you first mentioned it, I was like, is this satire? Because like I've seen how like Key and Peele treat Dr. King. And I'm like, is this one of those kinds of things? It's like, I got enough street cred. They put my name on the signs, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, but I'll be very interested to see what Chris Rock can do with this material that I'm sure that he takes very seriously and is important to him. And I would also add that, I mean, because I don't know if he's just directing or if he plans to star or whatever, but it seems that comedians have, there's something in comedic performances that kind of makes it easier for these types of folks to swing into drama.
Yes.
Like it's easier for a comedian to be dramatic than for like a drama person to be funny. Does that make sense?
Oh, it 100% does. And you're speaking to the theater kid, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Who can give you an education on such things. But comedians' minds work very differently.
Yeah.
They work very, very differently. Like take Robin Williams.
Sure.
One of the best dramatic actors, I would say, of our time. Really was. And also one of the best comedians. The way their brains work, they can shut it off and still channel it into their performances.
Yeah.
So, for example, Good Will Hunting, right? When all of us realized Robin Williams could actually act in, you know, serious stuff. And there are funny moments where he says his little jibes here and there, but he can push it down.
Yeah.
And it makes the character richer because real people, we joke all the time. What do we do out there all day? That's all we do. So
according to answer your question, rather, the New York Times says that this book is based on the recent release of FBI documents, letters, oral histories, and other material. So is this going to be one of these things like yanked right from this and then people get all mad like, what do you mean that didn't happen? And like, well, the FBI says it happened or whatever. Who knows what it is?
Especially if it's recently released material. Mm-hmm. That's you know what? You sold me on a biopic here. I'm kind of intrigued.
But I just want to say this. The tweet, which has this article that I saw, what got my attention is a picture of Chris Rock looking like Chris Rock, right? And a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King looking like Dr. Martin Luther King, and they're side by side. And I'm like, what? Is he playing him? Because that was the first thing. I'm like, they're having Chris Rock play him? No. He's directing? Interesting. And that's pretty much where we're at. So anyway, I look forward to this. No word yet on who's starring in this thing, anything like that, but fascinating. I'll just say fascinating for now.
Well, I would say for my dream casting, you get Jordan Peele to do it. I like this quite a lot.
Very good. Very good. Before I forget, your chance to win fantabulous prizes today. We are giving away a $50 Daniel's Broiler gift card. Daniel's Broiler has been a Seattle favorite since 1980. Features USDA prime steak and other specialties, including chicken and fresh seafood, as well as a selection of high-end spirits, wine, and cocktails. Daniel's Broiler is open now in Bellevue, downtown Seattle, Leschi, and South Lake Union. With dine and take in on delivery, check out danielsbroiler.com to reserve a table, place your takeout delivery order, and more. We're also giving away a copy of 7 Steps to Successful Retirement by Brian Evans of Madrona Financial and CPAs. Learn how to design your retirement to support your quality of life for 30-plus years from Brian Evans of Madrona Financial and CPAs, a local company working to help you grow deep financial roots so that future financial storms don't blow your life savings away. Visit MadronaFinancial.com for more information and discover how you can create a rooted wealth plan today. Last but certainly not least, we are giving away Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 on digital. Get Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 on digital today. Tom Cruise stars in the film critics call the biggest and best action movie of the year. Buy Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 on digital today and go behind the scenes with incredible bonus content. Available at participating retailers, rated PG-13 from Paramount Pictures. All you have to do in order to win these fantabulous, not crappy, and totally bitching prizes is be caller number 10 at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Caller number 10 wins a $50 Daniel's Broiler gift card, a copy of 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement by Brian Evans of Madrona Financial and CPAs, and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 on digital. Phone lines are open now. Give Mike a call for your chance to win at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Well, that's going to about do it for us today, my friends. But fear not, we'll be back tomorrow with more insane stories, more exciting guests, and, of course, more giveaways. You've been listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.